Hello all. I'm Ilkka Pelänen, and I'm working here at the Faculty of Information Technology, and I'm from computational side of this faculty, and I'm mainly working with hyperspectral imaging, which is actually used also here as a data source. So all these applications which I will show are based on hyperspectral image, which are collected from real patients, and to make sure that we have some kind of So this is actually collaborating research with VTT, University of Helsinki, Tampere University, and Central Hospital of Päijät-Häme, University of Vaasa, and Sahlgrenska University Hospital of Göteborg. And just a few words about spectral imaging. This is not new invention. Over 100 years ago, Charles photographer Sergei Brodugin-Gorski also took spectral image based on filter systems, and what we are doing is actually the same. We are doing spectral imaging with filter systems also. Also, of course, here the filters are only for three colors, for red, green, and blue, which is basically the same as in any cell phone today. So in cell phone we have actually three different filters which select different wave bands of visible light to be analyzed further. But in spectral, multispectral, and hyperspectral image we have tens, hundreds of narrow wave bands, and this way we actually get the hyperspectral cube, where we have both spatial and spectral dimension, so that each of these spatial pixels are actually spectras over this wavebend region that's currently used. And our imagery is based on Fabry-Perot interferometer, which is produced by VTT, and there is basically two half-passing mirrors inside of this optical system, which can be tuned. And when we tune this gap between these mirrors, we actually get several peaks of light which go through to this filter array here. And this way we can actually produce spectral image with relatively narrow wave bands and relatively fast. This system is using piezo activated micro machines, so it's really fast to change these gaps. We are talking about milliseconds. Of course, we have also larger systems for and more traditional. This is prism-based spectral imager. But in near future, we can actually have really really small spectral imagers based on MEMS FPIs. Okay, I have a demonstration here. Because we are now talking about skin and light, I will show you that we can analyze human tissue with light. Because if we put light inside of a mouth, we can actually see that it's scattering around the soft tissue. Of course, from here, it's relatively hard to say what is happening. because this is quite ill-posed inverse problem. But when we have imaging system, this is our first prototype, where we can control amount of light and take images, spectral images. We can actually produce relatively good information, which can be retrieved to the physical model. Skip this one, and I will go here. So basically, if we think soft tissue, for example skin, there are optical properties there. This is a little bit small here, but there is different chromophores in tissue which absorb light. There are hemoglobin, actually two different kind of hemoglobin. There is oxygenated and deoxygenated hemoglobin. Then there is water. There can be bilirubin and beta carotene on tissue. There is fat and there is melanosomes on tissue. And each of these has different kind of absorption curves, which actually affects on spectra what is seen when we record it with the hyperspectral imager. And another issue in skin is scattering. And we can have a complex models or simple models, and this is really simple. So based on Mie's theory on scattering, we can derive a simple fraction of Rayleigh and Mie scattering at skin and use it in our model. So basically, when we are imaging, there is an incoming light flux to the skin and scattered light flux, and recorded reflectance is actually ratio of these two. And when we have a little bit more complex models, the light is, or this incoming light flux is going inside the tissue. And here happens two things, basically. Or we can approximate that there are two things which happens. There is absorption and scattering. So part of the light scatters back, and part of it scatters future, and some of the energy is lost with absorption. And there are skin layers in skin. So there is, in most simple models, we use only two layers. There are dermal and epidermal layer. And in these layers, there are different properties. Basically, in epidermal layer, which is first layer, there is only this melanosomes active in absorption, and second layer, there are more or less blood-related absorption coefficients here in absorption. So, because these case in these two layers are different, we can actually build models so that we can separate these layer thicknesses. And there are several different approaches to model this flight flux now here, but basically they are partial differential equations, and I won't go that in that any deeper. But here are some very, very first results about using neural network to retrieve these parameters for these absorption and scattering from simulated data. And this is this Shipenko paper on 1989 says that there is so-called universal approximation theory, that with enough deep neural networks we can approximate any smooth function, and that's basically what we are trying to do here. So we have model, we simulate spectras based on model, and then we train neural network to retrieve these parameters which are used in simulation based on this simulated spectra. And with some parameters we are actually getting quite good results, and some others are still nonsense, but we are building it, we are working on this further. But what is now this interest here is that if we are able to do this for the models, we are also able to do it for also spectral images. So if we have image of melanoma, we can actually calculate different properties based on these parameters of our model. And this is interesting, of course, because it gives us deeper information what is actually happening in the skin currently. And in, for example, in cancer, there are happening different things than if we have just ordinary nevus. So we can actually use these models to explain what we are actually seeing. And this can be used as information for the medical doctors, clinicians, in their own decision making. Then I have another application, which is now more or less more traditional machine learning task, so that we are, when we have this spectral image and we have imaged different kind of cancers, we can see that there are some characteristic spectra. This is for melanoma from this image, and this is for healthy skin. So these message spectra differs quite radically. But unfortunately, it isn't also always so clear. And I will come to that soon. So in this study, we have compared five different kind of convolutional neural networks, so that we are have been classifying just single spectras with convolution approach. Then we have used 2D convolutional neural networks, which actually gets features only from separate wavebands. It doesn't look at the difference of between different wavebands at all. Then we have 3D convolution, which is kind of 3D box which goes through this whole spectral or part of spectral cube, and it also calculates features in spectral dimension. And then we have had a combination of these two. And as you see, our sensitivity is quite high for melanoma detection, and specificity is quite low. And positive predictive value for melanoma detection in these examples are something which is more or less same what experts, clinicians can get in routine checks when he or she is looking these cancers in clinical setup. And they are quite similar results. Maybe most interesting thing is that if we use all these features, we could get a little bit higher specificity, which we are actually needing, because most of the observers say that this is that we have false alarms quite a lot. And the reason why this is so, okay, here is actually this architecture, but I'm not going that any deeper, but maybe only that we have relatively simple networks here, so that there is not only two convolutional layers per each feature and six fully connected layers. And now if we hopefully see, if we look at this spectrums here, reflex spectrums of different kind of nevuses. So we have melanoma, pre-stage of melanoma, then there is so-called dysplastic nevus, which is very similar to the melanoma, or clinically very similar, but it's totally benign nevus, so it's hard to distinguish, and then there are benign nevus. And these are the distributions of measured spectrums from those areas. You can see that these are heavily overlapping. And if we do some normalization methods, we can actually tight this distribution a little bit smaller variations, so that we could hopefully distinguish these spectrums, this melanoma, or our classification could be better based on this. And if we do more modification, we can actually destroy too much features. So this is a so-called standard value normalization, and it actually does a little bit too much. So we have been using these kind of features in classification. And if we now look at some of the results, and if we just remember what was on those confusion matrix, it gave 100% sensitivity for melanoma detection for 1D and 2D. But actually this 1D is most unreliable, because there's a lot of it is more affected by noise of the data. 2D is a little bit better. 3D has some strange features, that there's very often this kind of false alarm around on the borders of the lesion. It might be do something with the training data, and actually with 3D we get best results. So this is now dysplastic nevus. And why reason why we have so much false alarms is that that classification based on this pixel-wise classification is using only final histopathology information of the lesion. So for lesion we have only one diagnosis, but which means that if there is even single one pixel marked melanoma, we will classify it as a melanoma, because there is no exclusion criteria which we could use reasonably here. And well, here's melanoma classification. It goes all these five different types of networks catch it. Here is Lentigo maligna, which is pre-stage. Here also all catches, but somehow these three are more reliable looking than this one, because there is this noise fraction. But this is actually the problem. No, result isn't the problem, but the problem is in training of this classifier, because what we have here is only the ground truth of whole lesion, which says that it's Lentigo maligna. But in reality, there are actually different kind of there can be nevuses inside or within this Lentigo maligna or even melanoma. So there can be several types of nevus or lesions inside one of the lesion, which affects now, so that we have probably very much noise which comes from wrong labeling of ground truth. And here is one example, the case which goes to the melanoma, but it's actually dysplastic nevus. And majority of these pixels here are classified as dysplastic nevus. So, some remarks, seems to work. This positive predictive value is currently the same or better than clinicians have. They have 33% based on some studies. But limitations come from that we have a small data set, only 61 lesions. And there is actually a question about is actually Finnish population too small for for this kind of studies to make more general models. There was probably problem with ground truth and actually also validation, because we have clinician eventually validates only really small part of this lesion. We have research continuing, and our next steps are in this model size is 2D models and hopefully eventually 3D models and comparison of different 1D models, and then finding proper networks for those. Then we are dealing with better imaging device, so that we could actually take photogrammetric stereo images in spectral dimensions, so that we would gain also surface normals, digital elevation model, and skin albedo as a function of wavelength. So we will gain more features for classification. Thank you.
So, we have time for questions.
The big problem in melanoma is, would you avoid a biopsy? You understand what I'm saying? Is there any way that any test would keep a clinician from removing the lesion? Because if there's any chance that there's a melanoma, so your false negative rate has to be absolutely zero.
Yes.
And is there any chance that a hyperspectral approach will ever give a false negative rate of zero?
Yes, of course there is. But as I show you...
if there's any false negative at all, any doubt at all, the lesion will be removed.
Yeah. Of course there's a chance for that, that we have false negative. Here it is. Actually,
yeah.
Zero, but then on opposite side we have false positives.
False positives are not a problem. False negatives.
Yeah. So I believe that there is positive possibility. It's basically how do you adjust this, because it's paracrine with these two, specificity and sensitivity.
Without having a false negative rate of zero, it's really useless.
Yeah. That's true. But we have to remember that clinicians' false negative rate isn't zero.
Yeah.
There are...
So, I remove a lot of normal tissue.
Yeah.
You take out a lot of normal tissue, yeah, just to make sure.
So if we can improve...
If you can improve that, in other words, you can take out less normal tissue.
Yeah.
That would be a big improvement.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Nice presentation. Have you thought about adding other risk factors to the model? Would they make the model better?
Well, we have a discussion about that, but currently we don't have a gathered data which contains those things. And of course, for example, skin type is, I'm not sure how precise measure it is. I think it varies who is looking. Yeah, it might help. Yeah, sure.
Come visit us. We'll give you 15 a week.
Melanomas.
Yeah.
Well, we can discuss about that.
Everybody has melanomas.
Yeah. But in Finland, I think it's in 400,000 people, there are less than 10, and catch those for the research is quite hard. So, but it's actually increasing problem. So, hopefully or unluckily or something like that, we will have more patients in the future.
Suggest that you would be starting a collaboration with some Australian.
Yeah, they're
because
their
incidence is very high.
Yeah, I know. There are actually now coming commercial device from Finnish company called Revenio, and I'm hoping that when there is company involved, we will gain more devices around the world, so that maybe there in the near future we could analyze a little bit larger data with collaboration with Revenio.
Okay. Thank you. I will support the discussion and I decided to open the lunch to be able to meet the colleagues. Thank you for this morning. will return in another.